Let's preach the Word of God. Not long this morning, but I want to help you get it nailed. Can you say get it nailed with me? Get it nailed. I hope that you won't go through another Easter service for the rest of your life again, not knowing that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. I'm the 2007, this is it, baby, right here. Easter 2007. Why in the world do you need to go to 2008, 2009? You don't even know what you got ahead of you. Get it nailed today. That's my message for us this morning. Get it nailed. I'm in a 3-week series called Nailed. The first week, we nailed the fact that we're sinners. Amen. That was rough. We've all sinned. That's not a problem. We all know we've done that. Last week, He was nailed. We looked at the crucifixion in great detail. Remember? Last week. This week is get it nailed. Say it with me one more time. Get it. Enough talk about it. We need to do something about it. So let's look at the message this morning. And we're going to go with one verse that can be preached in so many ways, but it spoke to my heart again this Sunday. Right here, it spoke to my heart again. It's a great verse to underline in your Bible, write down. It's huge, man. This is one of these verses, one of these nailed verses, baby. I mean, you need to write this thing down. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Look at it. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye what? Steadfast. What? Unmovable. What? Always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I got three nailed words for us this morning. Three words to help you get it nailed. They pop up in that verse right there. Let's look at them again. Here it goes. Pop one of them right. Steadfast. The word steadfast. Can you say that with me? Steadfast. I'm going to say something about that word in just a little bit. But the definition of steadfast is this. Firm. Unwavering, reliable. Doesn't that sound like something good? Say, firm, unwavering, reliable. And we're going to pin that on something in just a second. And it's right in this passage. The next word is this, unmovable. What's that mean? To not change place. Unchangeable. To not move. Say that last part with me. Totally unmovable. That's how my wife is with our house on the water. I can't get the lady to move. I've tried. No, not really. Well, I have. I picked on her about it. But you're just really totally satisfied there, ain't you, baby doll? You know what I'm talking about? Unmovable. Totally satisfied. The other word we saw in that verse was abounding. That's totally abundant. It's a great supply that's what? Overflowing. Three get it nailed words. Now I need your help. Amen. Come on, help me now this morning. Let's go with the message this morning. Three things to help you get it nailed. First of all, steadfast. Say that with me again. Steadfast. What has that got to do with Easter? Well, I'm glad you asked me because here we go right now. Here's what I'd like for you to be firm in this Easter Sunday and for the rest of your life. Be firm. That's what the word steadfast means. Be firm when it comes to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Are you hearing me? I'm talking about so many people. Oh, I'm a Christian. Oh, I think so. I believe in God. Why don't you nail that sucker to the wall? Say, be firm in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Be steadfast in it. 1 Corinthians 15. This was the last verse. 58 was the last verse of this great long chapter. Well, it starts helping us in the beginning of that chapter. This is a great passage, one of the greatest in all the Bible. Look at it. 1 Corinthians 15. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the what? Gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you what? Sound like some nailing stuff going on here to me. By which also you're what? Saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, here it is, first of all, that which I also received, how that what? Christ died for our sins according to the, verse 4, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the, that's the gospel. If you want to know what the gospel is, what do y'all people at Fellowship Church believe? Right there. Did you hear me? Say, Jesus died, He was buried, and He rose again. That's the gospel. Are you firm in that? Say, no, I believe, you know, people that believe in any God, that's fine. They can go to heaven that way. That's a lie. It ain't happening. Not according to the Bible. Ooh, that's too firm, Gary. Well, guess what? You do it your way. You be a pushpin Christian if you want to. I want to be a nailed Christian. I don't want my little tack coming out. Are you hearing me today or not? Firm, man, when it comes to the gospel. You got to receive it. You got to receive it. You got to stand on it. Amen? Thank God a little old country preacher back in 1977, after my mama, who was a drunk, heard Billy Graham on TV one Saturday night, she said, "We're going to church in the morning." I thought she was an absolute lunatic. I cussed her out. Didn't want to go. I was a 16. What 16-year-old kid that never went to church wants to go to church all of a sudden because your mama, who was drunk, saw Billy Graham on TV? That's crazy. But I went with her. 3 weeks later, thank God somebody was preaching God's word. And I received it. I received it. You got to catch the ball, man. I can throw to you all day. If you don't catch a ball, you ain't going to get no more passes from me. Aren't you glad God's not that way? Say. He still throws that ball to you. When are you going to receive salvation? When are you going to receive the gospel? Are you hearing me? And then stand on it. Once you got it, don't get off of it. Are you hearing me? Once you got it, don't get off. Say that with me. Once you got it, don't get off of it. Something else, little new, come down the road. Well, it'll pass away. Don't worry about that. This stuff sticks right here. Amen? 2,000 years later, we're still celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Come on. This stuff lasts. It changed your life. Get it, man. Keep it in your memory. Keep it in your memory. Don't forget what God has done for you. Rehearse it over and over and over and over again. I love the Lord. I thank the Lord for what He's done in my life. I'm talking about steadfast. Let's see if you want to get it nailed. Amen? Steadfast. Be firm in the gospel. Here's the gospel again. Say it with me, all of it. Here we go. Jesus Christ died for my sins. Say this. Jesus Christ was buried. Say it one more time. Jesus Christ arose from the... In case anybody ever asks you, what's the gospel? I heard they believe the gospel at Fellowship. Ooh, that's spooky sounding. It ain't spooky sounding. You wait to spooky. That's next week. UFO message. No, I'm just kidding. Amen. Listen. That's the gospel right there. Are you steadfast in that? Have you got it? You there? I'm firm. I've received it. I'm standing on it. Got it in my memory. Got it in my heart. Got it. You're good? Say. Or you a pushpin Christian? What does it take to pull your tack out? Say. A little wind blow? There you go again. Steadfast. Second word this morning. Unmovable. Say that with me. Unmovable. So steadfast in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Unmovable means totally satisfied. Be totally satisfied with the biblical record of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Say that with me. Be totally satisfied with the biblical record of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. What does it take for people? I want to show you, we need to be unmovable when it comes to the resurrection. It's unbelievable what God's given us in His Word. Let's look at several things this morning. 1 Corinthians 15:4, we saw it a little earlier. He was buried. The third day He rose again, according to the Scriptures. Let's go on down now, same passage, verse 12. Now if Christ be preached that rose from the dead, how say some among you there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, say it with me, then Christ is not what? Risen. And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is what? Vain. And your faith is also what? Vain. You up the crick is what it's talking about right here. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God. We're liars that preach the gospel if He didn't raise from the dead. Because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up, if so be that the dead raised not. Are y'all getting that? That's pretty plain English if you just read it through. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised? Keep looking. And if Christ be not raised, say it with me, your faith is vain and you're yet in your what? Bad shape. Then they also which have what? Died in Christ, they're also what? They're up the crick. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, say it with me, we are of all men most what? Miserable. Are y'all hearing me this morning? Come on, hang in with me now. Unmovable, totally satisfied with the biblical record, not Uncle Fred's record of the resurrection, what the Bible says. Amen? Let's look at it. Let's take it a little further. Romans 10:9, if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, if you'll believe in your heart, what? That God did what? Raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. You need to get this resurrection thing nailed this year, today. Why not make it today? Amen? Let's keep looking in case you ain't there yet. The tomb was empty. The tomb was empty. I'm going to talk about a couple of things. Nobody challenged that the tomb of Jesus Christ was empty. Nobody challenged that in the Bible. It is not challenged. The tomb ain't empty. Why? Why didn't they challenge it? Keep looking. Keep looking. I'm going to help you. Both the Christians and Jews alike knew where the tomb was. It's hard to say tomb ain't empty when everybody and their brother knows where the tomb is and they can go look. Capiche? Keep looking. It could have easily been checked out. Keep moving. The Roman authorities and the Jewish leaders never claimed one time, even though they were enemies of the cross and of Christ, the tomb, they never claimed that the tomb still contained Jesus' body. Not one time. Don't you think if Jesus didn't come out of that tomb, if his body wasn't in that tomb, don't you think the Jews would have said it? Say. Don't you think the Romans would have said, not our soldiers. He didn't get by us. No way, Jose. Didn't happen. Of course they would have. The Jewish leaders would have said it, but instead they claimed that someone must have what? Stole the body. And that's almost as unbelievable. Tomb sealed, big stone, Roman soldiers, but these ragtag fishermen from Galilee, they gonna get it done. I don't think so. Scared for their life they were. They all turned tail and run, but all of a sudden now, he's dead. We're heroes. We're supermen. No, you ain't. You're weaker than you ever was. You can't just follow this crap that people tell you. Excuse me. You need to think, man. And that's what I'm trying to help you do. Jesus, not only was a tomb empty, say it with me. Jesus was seen alive. Now keep looking. We're going to fly through this. Verses 4 through 8. He was buried. The third day he rose again according to the scriptures. Now watch it. The Bible doesn't mess around. It gives you some help and me help so we can nail it. God wants us unmovable. He wants us totally satisfied with the resurrection because this is where the power comes. He was seen of Cephas. That's just another name for Peter. Then the 12 saw him. How many does it take to see? I mean, you got to see to be alive. I think that was plenty, but he goes on. Jesus was also seen above 500 brethren at what? One time, of whom the greater part, Paul writes, are still alive. Some have died, he says. But most of them are alive. After that, he was seen of James. Jesus was alive. He was seen of all the apostles. And last of all, Paul writing says he was seen of who? Me, as one born out of due time. Jesus was what? Alive. He was seen alive. This didn't develop over years of mythology. This isn't something, that's what a lot of people think about the Bible, about Christianity. You people are just crazy. You just need a crutch. That's a myth. It's so easy to say that, isn't it? Say. And most people that say that don't know jack squat about the Bible or about Bible history or Jewish history. It's just easy to say. He was seen alive. This message of his resurrection began being proclaimed as a central message on day one of the church. Are you hearing me? This was the message. Myths don't start on day one. Myths start hundreds of years later. This is day one out the gate. He's alive! It makes much more sense to take ragtag disciples who turn tail and run. They're scared to death that they're going to be hunted down like dogs. It makes so much more sense to believe they must have seen something. Amen? Say that with me. They must have seen something. Because now they're full of fire, aren't they? Say. They're full of fire. They're full of flame. They're standing up and said, doesn't matter what you do. That's what Peter and John said. Doesn't matter what you say. They're going to throw them in the slammer, going to take their life. Doesn't matter. We're going to preach Jesus. It doesn't matter because we've seen him. Are you hearing me? How about you? Are you getting it nailed? 1 Corinthians 15 names specific individuals who encountered the risen Christ. Paul gives the names. Paul challenges readers to the Corinthian letter to talk to these people themselves because they're still alive. How goofy it would be to not believe something when there's that person saw it, and that person saw it, and that person saw it, and that person. 500, we might have 600 in this room. Almost every one of you saw it. But no, it didn't happen. How stupid is that? Say. Y'all with me so far, you lost in somewhere? Y'all good? Come on. The book of Acts, not just the Corinthian letter, the book of Acts, the four Gospels, they describe in detail numerous encounters that people had with the risen Savior. Lots of evidence. And then you got personal life changes that show that Jesus was alive. Look at it. The disciples were in a unique position to know if the resurrection really happened. They were there. You and I weren't. We have the Word of God that is our record. But are you satisfied with the Bible? That's the question, isn't it? Because it's very doubtful that you're going to go back there. Isn't that true? Unless you have some crazy experience that I don't think is going to happen. Faith comes by what? Hearing and hearing of what? The Word of God. These guys were there. The point is, do you believe them or not? And if you don't believe them, just be man enough to say it. You know what I'm saying? I really wish you would believe them. Each and every disciple went to their deaths proclaiming what? It's true! He's alive! They were all killed for preaching the gospel, except John, who was exiled for his faith. Within 3 weeks, not just the disciples of the crucifixion, thousands of Jews began abandoning key religious beliefs to follow Jesus Christ as their Messiah. That's huge. Here's people that didn't even believe in Jesus. They've heard he's bad, 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 bad. But guess what? He arose from the dead, and all of a sudden now thousands and thousands and thousands who are steeped in such religious tradition, it ain't even funny, all of a sudden they're turning to Jesus in the droves. Are you hearing me? So just to say I don't believe it's a myth, that ain't going to fly with the preacher man this morning. There's a lot more to that. They were ostracized, these Jews. They were persecuted. They were killed for their decision to follow Jesus Christ. But probably even greater than that, they knew if they were wrong, they would be damned for all eternity. But they did this. I believe anyway. Amen. I'm jumping in with both feet, and we're going to nail it even if they nail us. We're going to nail it even if they nail us. And many of them were nailed themselves because they believed in Jesus Christ. Okay, let's keep looking. Personal life changes. The emergence of the church in spite of brutal Roman persecution. There weren't people putting out church signs on every corner in those days. If you did that, they would kill you. But they were true believers in the resurrection. They did it anyway. Amen? And what they did ripped a hole in history that can only be explained by a commitment to the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Hope you're hearing me. I know this is a lot of stuff. No other event in history, the resurrection. Last year was the Da Vinci Code. This year it's What's-His-Face's book about the tomb. We found a tomb. It's got a little box in it. It says, Yeshua on the top, and it's got bones in it. It's the bones of Jesus. Well, if it's the bones of Jesus, that means Jesus did not what? Rise from the dead. There'll always be things out there that's going to come down the pike that's going to challenge your faith. But you'll make it if you got it nailed. Are you hearing me? Are you totally satisfied with the biblical record of the resurrection? Or when another book comes out, are you going to jump ship because you're a pushpin Christian? Your little tack's coming out. That's ugly on Easter, ain't it? Here we go. Come on. Watch this. No other event in history has been so scrutinized, criticized, demonized, yet millions and millions continue to place their faith and confidence in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, radically changing their lives year after year after year after year. And I got a question. I did it in the second service this morning. How many in this building today would say right here at Fellowship Church, within the last couple of years, your life has been radically changed because of the power of Jesus Christ? Can I see your hand so everybody in this room can see it? I want you to look at these people. Look at these people. Isn't that crazy? But I don't believe, man. Well, I believe these people beg to differ with you. Are you hearing me? There's power. How can my drunk mama never dry a day in her life hardly come to know Jesus Christ? I remember going home that afternoon after church after she accepted Jesus. It don't happen this way with everybody, I guess, but it happened with mama this way. She went home, took the Pabst Blue Ribbon, things that were just destroying her life, and she poured them right down the drain. Amen. Praise the Lord. How does that happen? Mind over matter. My mama's mind was about shot. It was Jesus Christ. And even in my own life, I say it, I've said it many times, my wife don't like me saying it, but if my foul language, F this, GD this, that's the way I talk, 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 talk. Anytime you talk to me, that's how I would talk. And after reading God's Word, being saved, going to church a little while, I started being convicted, and all of a sudden one day I caught myself just going, well, my goodness, I don't say and talk, and I learned that there's a whole other vocabulary out there. Amen? Whoa! How does that happen? You hear what I'm telling you? How many in the building can relate to what I just said? Come on. You see what I'm saying? He's alive. He's risen. Well, I wasn't there when it happened, but I know what? I was there when it happened to me. And that's what matters. I was there when it happened to me. I know what I believed. That's what Paul said. I know whom I have believed. I'm persuaded, amen, that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day, judgment day. Are you nailing it? I hope you are. Last thing is this. Three words. And boy, y'all been good audience today. Thank you. Number one, steadfast. Are you firm in the gospel? Jesus died, he was buried, he rose again. Are you right there? I got it, preacher. I'm in, baby. Are you totally satisfied with the biblical account of the resurrection of Jesus Christ in the Scriptures? Or do you need, I like nodding heads. That's a good thing. Amen? Or you wait for some next little fancy to come down the line, some little book, some little movie, some little camera or whatever. It's always somebody new. Are you satisfied with the Bible? God must sit in heaven and just laugh. That's what the Bible says. He laughs at us following these little rabbit trails and denying him. That ain't going to fly in the day of judgment. Get it nailed. Number three, abounding. Abounding. The word means to overflow out of your spirit. Let Jesus Christ overflow out of your life in abundant supply to others. Amen? That's what I pray for you. That's what I want for my life. I got my firm over here, and I'm believing in the resurrection. And I'm telling you what, when you get those two ducks in a row, baby, you can really swim then, man. Things will start happening in your life. You'll start to change. There'll be an abundant overflow in your life when you get it nailed. I'm convinced of it. It's happened in my life. There's that. What are you? Boom. You going to be a pushpin Christian? Or you going to be one of them? Say, I want one of them. That's what I want to be. I want to be that guy that's nailed. That doesn't mean I don't have problems, warts, wrinkles, still make mistakes. But baby, I've got my faith nailed to that cross. That's where it is right there. That's what I believe. Okay, I hope that you're there. If you are, you can abound. Look at these verses. But now is Christ risen from the dead? He's become the first fruits of them that slept, that have died. For since by man came death, by man came also, hallelujah, the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, say this part with me, even so in Christ shall all be made what? Alive. We ought to be alive. The church ought to be alive. We ought not be ashamed of our faith. I'm not talking about being ugly, judging people, pushing stuff down people's throat, but it ought to make a difference in your life. It ought to come out. Are you hearing me? Abounding. I'm alive in Christ and we'll live with him forever. Say that with me. We're almost done. I'm alive in Christ and we'll live with him. But, well, bless God, I'm not sure. I mean, come on. I tell you what, I guess we could build an exciting church in Englewood with people that did that every once in a while, but I prefer not. Be nice to see what God could do with people that had it nailed. People that really truly believed. People that had an abundance overflowing in their life. Why? Not because of anything we do. Because of the gospel. Because of the resurrection. And I'm a believer and I'm alive in Christ now. It can change your life. Say that with me. Death does not have a hold on me. That's what the resurrection is all about. Death doesn't have a hold on me. We're all going to die once. That's happening. But the Bible talks about a second death. You don't have to die that second death and be separated from God forever. You can nail that today. You can know that you know that you know that Christ is your Lord and Savior. Because you believe in the gospel, you're satisfied with the resurrection, and you will abound in your life. Great verses. I love them to pieces. The verses right before that big one we read at the beginning. Oh, death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. Say that 57 with me. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we celebrate on this day. In case you're here wondering, boy, you people sing a lot. Y'all act up on Easter. Yeah, we do. This is a big deal, ain't it? Let's praise the Lord. It's a big deal. It's a big deal. Huge, gigantic. What I do here, when you abound, I'm telling you, you'll start to think this. What I do here matters for all eternity. What I do here matters for all eternity. You'll have a different perspective on how you love your wife, how you love your neighbor, how you live your life. When you have Christ in your heart, the gospel, the resurrection, you're satisfied, you start overflowing. You'll start thinking like this, I'm determined to make a difference for the glory of God because that's my destiny. That's my destiny. Hellraiser was back here. My destiny now is this way. I've got a future. I've got a hope. I've got a purpose because of I believe the gospel, the resurrection has changed my life. I know it's changed my life. I'm living proof in my own head, in my own heart of my life being changed. And there's nothing that's holding me back. There's everything that is wooing me on, making me want to strive harder, go higher. Things can happen that I can't even ever imagine or think. That's what the Bible teaches when you're in Christ. But if you're waffly on the gospel, if you're weak on the resurrection, don't think about flying, friend. It ain't going to happen. You're going to hit and miss church. That's what's going to happen. I've done this for 22 years. It's been my career. You're going to hit and miss church. You're going to hit and miss reading your Bible. You're going to hit and miss giving. You're just going to hit and miss, hit and miss. You're going to be a pushpin Christian, always coming out. Why don't you get it nailed? Are you hearing me today? It's your choice. It's up to you. We've given you some facts this morning. It's not that complicated. Here's the problem right here. Here's the problem. Me, man. I got problems. That's the problem. You got to deal with it today. I hope that you will. Come on. Three things out of this review. Steadfast. Say it with me. Firm in the gospel. Are you? Unmovable. Totally satisfied with the biblical account of the resurrection. Are you? Number three, abounding. Overflowing and abundant supply to serve other people. Is that what you want to do? Does the verse mean something a little more now than when we started out with it reading it? This is a powerful verse. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye what? Steadfast, firm in the gospel, unmovable, totally satisfied with the resurrection, the biblical account. Watch it. Always what? Overflowing to serve other people in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know your labor, it's not in vain in the Lord. Have you got it nailed? Why not today? Are you hearing me? Wow, it's late. But we're going to live. Amen? Come on.